Hello, everybody. This is Buck with TheRubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to Buckshots, where we are continuing our series of reviewing every Gamecock football season since 1987. Tonight, we'll be talking about the 1990 squad, and I'm just going to be honest with you. On these next two, 90 and 91, we're kind of getting into a little bit of a no man's land as far as my memory is a little fuzzy, and I don't have media guides to fall back on. You know, 87 and 88 were both pretty memorable seasons. It was my first 2 years of college, and I remember a lot about it, and I supplement that with some things I find on the internet. 90 and 91, there's just really not a lot of information out there, and plus I don't have media guides. Man, starting in 92, I've got every media guide from 92 to 2006, so I'm going to try to dig deep into those and pull out some interesting information, because obviously you haven't been getting interesting information so far. But we're going to give it a shot here tonight with the 1990 team. So heading into 1990, we're coming off a 6-4-1 season in 1989, which was Sparky Wood's first season. And let me just say one thing about 89 to 90 for you uniform people. 1989 may have been the worst uniforms. Well, I take that back. The first year of Holtz was really bad too. But if you look back, the entire 89 South Carolina Clemson game is on YouTube. And if you look at those uniforms, the helmets are fine. I'm a big fan of the old Garnet helmets, black stripe down the middle with two smaller white stripes on either side, black face mask, block C in a white circle. Those are cool. But the jerseys look like somebody ran down to the local sporting goods store, and there's no name on the back, no name on the front, plain white pants. I think there is a block C on the pants, the block C logo somewhere, black shoes, and we look like a team. You know, TV and the movies do a really bad job of uniforms. They really go cheap on the uniforms in television and movies, with a few exceptions. Friday Night Lights being one of them. But the uniforms were really bad in 89. A little bit of improvement in 90. We got Gamecocks across the front of the jerseys. We got names on the back. Still had the white pants with no stripes or anything. But, you know, a little bit of improvement in the Sparky Woods era on the uniform front, which, you know, it's important to a lot of people, so bear with me. So we're coming off 6-4-1, heading into 1990. We've lost Todd Ellis to graduation. Had actually lost him late in the 89 season to a torn ACL. He had a brief tryout with the Broncos, I believe, and was cut pretty early on. We lost Harold Green at tailback. Harold Green actually went on to have a pretty good career with the Bengals and a couple of other teams. Played for the Falcons for a couple of years. Had a decent pro career. So we had to fill those two positions along with a few more. We did pick up a transfer from Appalachian State. A quarterback named Bobby Fuller became our starter. Wore number 20. Always fascinated. I think I mentioned this earlier. I'm fascinated by numbers. And the fact that he wore number 20 as a quarterback just mesmerized me. And I liked him for it. I thought it was like he didn't really care that he was wearing number 20. He was a quarterback. He's going to go out and run the team. So Bobby Fuller takes over at quarterback. Mike Dingle becomes the primary tailback. A quick note on Mike Dingle. We haven't talked about him in 88 and 89 because he was behind Harold Green, but 90 was Dingle's senior year. He only got 3 years at South Carolina. Dingle was what was called back in those days a Prop 48, and what Prop 48 meant, it was an NCAA rule at the time that if you didn't have a certain grade point average and you enrolled at school, you basically forfeited your freshman year. So his freshman year, he didn't get to play, didn't get to redshirt. He lost his freshman year. Now, there's no such thing as Prop 48 anymore. Kids have a lot more options. They can go to prep school. They could go to junior college back then, but he was a Prop 48. He decided to come to South Carolina, lost a year. 90 was also the debut of a running back named Rob DeBoer. Now, we don't talk about Rob DeBoer much anymore, but Rob DeBoer was kind of Ryan Brewer before Ryan Brewer. He burst onto the scene. He was also a baseball player at South Carolina. So in 90, Dingle rushed for 740 some odd yards. DeBoer rushed for 700 yards and 6 touchdowns, and he just came out of nowhere, was just a bulldozer. Everybody was excited about Rob DeBoer and was a great contributor. You know, unfortunately, he never had a season quite like that. He rushed for 285 in 91, 540 in 92, and then 285 again in 93. So never quite the contribution like he had in 1990, but boy, he was fun to watch during that 1990 season. Still got Robert Brooks at wide receiver, and then on defense, a bunch of guys. You know, there really aren't a lot of memorable players, to be honest with you. I believe Corey Miller was on this team. But nonetheless, we opened up like we had been the last couple of seasons prior with some games against ACC teams. We opened up with a win over Duke, a Steve Spurrier-less Duke team, beat them 21-10. Beat North Carolina at home 27-5, and went to Virginia Tech and won that game 35-24. So once again, the Gamecocks are off to a really good start. You're not, you know, beating the sisters of the poor here, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, pretty good start. And then we head to Georgia Tech and lost to them 27-6 in Atlanta. Now, this is the Georgia Tech program in 88 that ruined our 6-0 start. So, and we beat them in 89. So in 90, they beat us 27-6. That Georgia Tech team, folks, went on to win the national championship, or at least a share of the national championship. Back in those days, there were really two polls. There was the AP poll, which was the sports writers, and then the UPI, United Press International, which was the coaches' poll at the time. And actually, 90 was the last year of the coaches' poll, and it's been kind of bounced around from ESPN and USA Today. I believe USA Today has the coaches' poll these days. But back in those days, if there was any question as to who the national champion was, because there wasn't a playoff, there's no BCS, there's nothing like that, they would split the national title. And Colorado won the AP national championship, and Georgia Tech won the UPI. Georgia Tech was 11-0-1. Their only tie came against North Carolina, at North Carolina, 13-13. Another interesting factoid there from that season, they beat Virginia on the road in early November, and Virginia was the number one ranked team in the country at the time, which I don't remember. I was surprised to hear that. One other really interesting thing about the split national championship that year, Colorado won the AP national title at 9-1-1. So they had one loss and one tie, and they still got a share of the national title. Plus, there's a really famous game from 1990 called the Fifth Down Game. It was against Missouri. They were playing at Missouri, and they were losing that game. They drive down at the end of the game, get to the goal line, have four cracks. But after second down, the judge who was doing the down marker didn't change it from second to third. So Colorado runs another play, didn't get in, which should have been fourth down at that point. Their quarterback spikes the ball. The ball should have been turned over to Missouri, but because the down marker had not been turned over, they actually got a fifth down, which they scored a touchdown. They win the game. Very, very controversial. I'm surprised those referees got out of there alive. But interesting that Colorado 9-1-1, plus they have that fifth down game, and they still get a chance to share the national title. So, back to Gamecock football. We're 3-1, still having a pretty good, you know, pretty decent start to the season under Sparky Woods. And then East Carolina beat them 37-7, beat them handily. Then comes October 20th of 1990, and I believe I said this on a podcast, maybe one or two podcasts back. I don't know that I've ever felt this bad leaving a football game, and I throw 63-17 in there as well. the Citadel came into Columbia, beat us 38-35. They scored two touchdowns in the last 3 minutes. They actually scored one touchdown, recovered an onside kick, and drove down and scored the go-ahead touchdown with about 30-some-odd seconds left, and obviously we couldn't do anything from that point. So the Citadel beats us. Citadel was also had a guy running the ball, and this is actually online. The last Citadel drive, the last two touchdowns are on YouTube as well. There's a guy named Everett Sands running the football for the Citadel during that game. So Everett, if you're out there listening, I knew you went to the Citadel. I didn't realize you were a part of that game. You hurt me real bad, man. You hurt me real bad. So really depressed leaving that game. And then we went to North Carolina State, lose 38-29, lose to Florida State, 41-10, come back and beat Southern Illinois, 38-13, to make ourselves feel good. And then here's another one of these schedule quirks. We played Clemson on November the 17th, which was the week before Thanksgiving. We lose to them 24-15, really typical, nondescript, not an exciting game. Clemson beats us. And then we turned around, and on Thanksgiving night of 1990, we played West Virginia at home. And I remember eating my turkey dinner and heading over to Columbia, and we watched that game, and we beat West Virginia 29-10. And it was a really strange feeling, because it was nice to beat a team like West Virginia that bad. West Virginia wasn't good. I think their final record was somewhere in the 4-7 range. So you felt good leaving, but it was on the heels of another loss to Clemson, so you didn't feel that good. So we finished that season with 6 wins, 5 losses. And was texting with T-Bone and G-Man about this. We just head into this incredible period of mediocrity in the Gamecock program at this point. Between 1987 and last year, 25 years or so, we had 13 seasons where we won 5, 6, or 7 games. And, you know, you throw in the 10-loss season, the 11-loss season, and then the 11-win seasons the last couple of years. But it was really, and it seemed like the Clemson game every year came down to the Clemson game as to whether we were going to get a bowl bid or not. And more often than not, you guys know what happened there. But we won games here and there against Clemson, which we'll talk about as we come back. But that will do it for 1990. And then we're going to hit 1991, which was not a good season, and I remember even less about it. But we'll come back later this week and talk a little bit about 1991. Thanks all for listening. This is Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com.